Local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica J Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Happy Thursday to you. I can't believe it's already Thursday. October is just around the corner, and then you know what follows that? Election Day. Yeah, because Halloween has basically been canceled, and so is Nevada Day. But we're going to keep it going. I'm putting out my Halloween decorations, and I'm going to be handing out candy. I don't care what the state says. It's Halloween. It's Nevada Day. Be driving just my car down Main Street in Carson City. I might be alone, but I think I won't be. I think I'll be surrounded by hundreds of other proud Nevadans celebrating our country and the birth of our state, the recognition of our state by flying the American flag and just rolling through town. The governor can't take this away from us. We have to do it. We have to do a lot of things to take back our rights. We should not be closed down as a state. We should not be. And this is ridiculous. 991FMTalk.com answered today's poll question. Are you better off financially? Not personally, not, you know, in your love life or any of that. Are you better off financially right now than you were 5 years ago? Today's poll brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Yesterday's poll, should the Governor Bowl Park be used for a homeless camp? 32% said yes. Overwhelming majority, 68%, no. Want to give you a highlight of something that happened this morning that is outrageous, and this crap has got to stop. I am going to lose it. There was a rally in front of the Capitol this morning, peaceful, people showing their love of country. They're wanting this state back opened, promoting the bigger rally on Saturday. Somebody drove by, threw a bottle at the peaceful protesters, and hit one of them square in the eye. He had to be taken to the emergency room. People that were with him chased down the vehicle and were able to get his license plate. The license plate has been given to law enforcement. And I will say right now, if Ken Furlong, if Sheriff Furlong does not follow up on this, because this is assault, it is littering. I mean, whatever charges you want to tack onto it, Ted, who was hit, is okay. His face is just all swollen up. But who knows how his vision is going to come out in the long run after you have trauma like that. He will press charges. Carson City law enforcement, the sheriff's department, has the license plate number. If you guys don't track this guy down and arrest him, then you are no better than these liberal states around us that surround us that are letting the criminals take over. Assault and battery, littering, and I'm sure that we can find a few other things. Get on it. Sorry to be so aggressive and so mean, because you know I love Sheriff Furlong. But this has to stop. The indiscretions that go on around us are very troubling. But I guess it's learned behavior, because we see what our government does, and maybe we learn from that. So I have a very special guest on today that this is just one more reason why you have to search for your own information and get the information that you need on what is really going on around us. because had I just stuck with mainstream media, I would have never have contacted Mark. I would have never have known about him. I wouldn't have known about his story, his mission in life now. Because I go on to podcasts, I learned something that I kind of suspected, but I never thought that our government would actually do to our men and women in service. So please join me in welcoming an ultra runner, a really bad surfer, but he's also an Army combat veteran, a federal agent, and most importantly in my heart, because Nevada, especially Northern Nevada, we are so military oriented here. We have Fallon Naval Air Station. We've got the best veterans hospital in the entire country. We love our veterans. And so we have to make change. Mark T. Jackson is my guest right now. Mark, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. That was an extremely accurate introduction.
Well, I added really bad surfers, though. I'll let you stick with that. But Mark is also the legislative director and board member of an organization called Stronghold Freedom Foundation. And you need to look them up and find out what the mission is about. If you miss any of this interview today, make sure you check it out on the podcast and share it with your friends and family who love our veterans. Mark, how did you get put on this mission? And tell us about Uzbekistan.
So right after 9/11, we knew we were going to have to invade Afghanistan. And so we immediately started looking for places to do that. Initially, we looked at Pakistan. It was somewhat hostile. They weren't going to allow the troop levels that we needed. So we looked elsewhere. We looked at Kyrgyzstan. And then we looked also at Uzbekistan, which is a relatively small kind of peanut-shaped country, double landlocked, just north of Afghanistan. It's also where the Soviet Army invaded northern Afghanistan back in 1979 from a base built near the towns of Karshi and Khanabad, about 100 kilometers north of the Afghan border. The base was called K2 by the Americans who got there in early October of 2001, and it was mostly abandoned. Uzbekistan had some of its air force there. We sent in some combat engineers, got with some of the local nationals, got a hurry-up memorandum of understanding with the Uzbek government, and started sending in special forces, initially living in a tent city. Almost immediately, people started getting sick, both the locals and our soldiers. Someone thought something was up, so they started checking for contaminants, and they found depleted uranium and yellowcake uranium and about 400 other different toxic compounds on the base. This is October of 2001, so immediately they knew this place was toxic. However, it had a runway that we could use to resupply the mission into northern Afghanistan, ultimately all the way in through to Bagram and Kandahar. So we took the space anyhow. And people Wow. continued to get sick. They marked off some of the areas with giant signs, and the base continued to grow and grow and grow. And ultimately, 10,100 people or so passed through from the time it opened in 2001 to the time the Uzbeks kicked us out in late 2005. I went to K2. I was active duty Army, sent to Afghanistan, then up to Uzbekistan, then back and forth for the better part of 2003. And 2004. So I lived at this place. And the day I got there, there were literal signs. So you could tell the place was dirty with your eyes, but there were actual signs that said radiation, poison, chemical weapons, stay out, all over the base. And of course, the jokes and the rumors on the base was that people were getting sick and that we were all going to be sick and that most of us were glad we were done having kids by that point, kind of the gallows humor that permeates the military.
Right.
I went home in 2004. And I got out of the Army in very early 2005. In 2006, I was 28 years old, and I went from being able to run marathons to not being able to walk up a flight of stairs. So I went to my doctor, and he did some, I thought I had the flu. He gave me some blood tests, and my thyroid was non-functioning. It had been destroyed. Easy enough fix, just take a pill for that. And then the wheels started to come off the bus. I had I was diagnosed with lumbar osteoporosis. I was diagnosed with gastrointestinal disease, diagnosed with non-iron deficient anemia, all things associated with radiation exposure. So I did what most veterans do. I went to the VA to get compensation. I was denied service connection initially, and then later they gave me a 10% service connection for my thyroid. That made my thyroid worth about $120 a month. I also found out around that time that Uzbekistan was not recognized by the government as an official deployed location. It wasn't anywhere in federal law that said veterans who went there are recognized as veterans. As odd as that sounds, it is the case. And I thought I was alone. I had stayed in touch with a handful of people from the base, and all of them, for the most part, had similar ailments, thyroid, gastrointestinal, weird blood stuff. Still not really a large group until December of 2019, where I met a guy by the name of PJ Widener. And PJ had worked with the Special Forces guys early on, and he spent more time at K2 than anybody that I know. And PJ started a Facebook page back in 2012 with his buddy Mike West. Mike West died of cancer, a very rare cancer that is usually caused by exposure to certain toxicants. And PJ has carried that torch alone until December of 2019, when I saw a news article talking about that Facebook page and suddenly realized I wasn't alone. And more articles started to come out, so I started researching it. I joined the Facebook page and realized there were thousands and thousands of us that were sick with these similar diseases, and many, many were dead, and even more were dying. So by coincidence, I was in Washington, D.C. In February of this year and for work. PJ was up there on Capitol Hill with another veteran and then a surviving spouse. Her husband died of a K2 related illness. Her name's Kim Brooks. Her husband's name was Timothy Brooks, Lieutenant Colonel Timothy Brooks, who had died of a K2 related cancer. And they're lobbying Congress, trying to get some sort of legislation going. And they wound up testifying in front of the House Oversight and Reform Committee. I was also able to provide written testimony after I met with them. I mean, I met them that day and found myself on Capitol Hill in the room testifying in front of Congress. It was a remarkably odd experience. And then things started moving very quickly. Representative Mark Green, Republican of Tennessee, and Stephen Lynch, who is the chairman of the House Oversight and Reform Committee, Democrat from Massachusetts, had written legislation that specifically mentions K2 and Uzbekistan for the first time. So they introduced that resolution. As it turns out, Mark Green, who was a doctor and special forces when he was in the Army, also was at K2 and survived two primary cancers, quite rare, of the brain and the colon, which are the most common in our group. So Mr. Green wrote that legislation. And then the Rona hit. And all of our lobbying, at least in person, stopped, because everything stopped in Washington, D.C. We worked with Representative Green, Representative Lynch, to try and get co-sponsors in the House. We did what we thought was good. We got it all the way into committee. It went into conference, and the bill disappeared. They added an amendment into the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. Other than that, no real mention of K2 anywhere still in federal law. PJ and I had a conversation, said that's completely unacceptable. So we started calling senators, and we started calling the media, and we started calling podcasts, and we started researching, why are we not in federal law? And I found out where that federal law should be. It happens to be in Chapter 38 of the Code of Federal Regulations. And I found, drilled all the way down into the subparagraph, to where they could insert one word, just one word. And I can't say that enough. This is about the absence of one word from federal law preventing recognition of every single person who went to K2 in Uzbekistan supporting the global war on terror. And that word is Uzbekistan, because nowhere in federal regulation and federal law do they actually recognize that they sent people to live, fight, and die at K2. And we didn't die at K2, but when we volunteered, we raised our hand, we said we'd take a bullet, right? I did take a bullet, and it's been moving through my body for 18 years. So
you're following almost the same path of all of the veterans who had to suffer through Agent Orange.
We are doing exactly what they did on almost exactly the same timeline. When we speak with legislatures, they acknowledge that. The DOD has acknowledged that. The VA has acknowledged that. Even crazier, everything I've just told you, anybody could say anything, right? Well, all the documents, the DOD, while the base was still open, did two different health surveys and then classified them. So we got them declassified. And the declassified documents say everything I just told you in black and white. They were declassified in early August of this year. Might have been late July. Either way, it was midsummer. Congress had to subpoena the DOD to release records that we already knew existed, that we knew proved everything that I just told you. Once those were released, what they said was that 100% of the time that every person assigned to K2 was on K2, they were being exposed to ionizing radiation. And you're right, this has happened before, and it's happening still. We're a small part of a systemic problem, not recognizing service members for toxic exposures. So K2 is even worse for us because we don't exist, right? But there are millions, literal millions of veterans who can't get proper care for toxic exposures to all sorts of chemicals. The VA, and it's not
Mark,
entirely
Mark,
their
I'm
fault.
Gonna, I'm gonna stop you right there. We got to pay the bills, but we will be right back because I want to ask you when we come back to explain something else, and that's open burning, something that adds to all of this. And then after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about how everybody can help. So hang on the line. You are not going to want to miss 1 minute of Mark T. Jackson. And this is just crazy, but it's happened before. And if we don't stop it now, it's going to happen again and again. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 991FMTalk.com.
It is live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. And the reason that I'm talking to somebody from Florida is because we love our veterans and we have so many veterans here that, I don't know, might have actually served at K2. Mark T. Jackson is my guest on the show today on the Monica J. Show. And let me tell you, you are not going to want to miss 1 minute of this. Mark, thank you for hanging on through the break and hanging on through Fox News at the bottom of the hour. But with the government knowing that they were setting you up on a base in Uzbekistan as the start of the Afghan war, of course, nobody wanted to put that out there into the news because, well, you want to do things by surprise. That's you didn't want everybody to know you were there, and it was a necessity. So it didn't get filed into the proper channels. But there was something else that was added onto this, and I didn't know this happened because we are such a country of it's all about the environment and recycling. But explain what open pit burning is for the military.
Yeah. So, and K2 had a burn pit in addition to all the other things it had going for it. So, beginning right at the beginning of the Afghan war and going all the way through the Iraq war and still in Afghanistan, we burn our trash. There's no landfills. There's no way to get rid of it. We don't recycle it. So what we do is we literally dig a hole. We throw trash in it. We pour jet fuel on it. We light that on fire. And they burn for years. We just keep throwing trash and jet fuel to burn everything, every single base. And I've been on 4 different combat deployments. I've been to every major theater, and I've been to every major base and a lot of small ones. Every single one of them had an open burn pit with a plume of smoke hanging over the base. And any veteran listening to this that served in any of the recent wars will be nodding their head right now, thinking about that very specific burn pit smell. It's not quite plastic. It's not quite human waste. It's not quite paper. It's all those things creating this one disgusting plume that's on everything, and it leaves a fine film on everything. And hundreds of thousands of people are getting sick. That's one thing that we as the Stronghold Freedom Foundation are doing. Not only are we trying to get K2 recognized so we can get help for our veterans, but we're supporting legislation that is going to help address these toxic exposures and these burn pits exposures. In fact, just last week, John Stewart, the comedian, has taken this as part of his 9/11 first responder stuff that he was doing. He did a press conference, and we made sure our veterans were there, and we made sure that they spoke at that press conference to talk about this very issue.
Yeah, that just seems crazy to me. Here we are forced to wear masks that do nothing and actually make you unhealthier because of a virus that is no worse than the common flu. And that's my opinion. That's not Mark's opinion or anybody else. Again, that's my opinion. And yet you guys, our military, our fighting men and women are forced to breathe in toxins from jet fuel and burning plastic and the other wastes that you were talking about with no protections.
Yes, specifically with no protection. As recently as this month, both the VA and DOD have denied that burn pits are toxic and denied that there's any evidence because, right, we don't have medical evidence. There was no longitudinal study done on K2 for background radiation. There's no longitudinal study done on a wide population with a control group on whether or not breathing all the chemicals I just described being burned and then having that smoke blow on you 24 hours a day for the whole time you are wherever you are, there's no proof for that. The only proof we have is what's happening to our bodies, as one of our veterans says, as they descend slowly into entropy because of these exposures. And we are told by the government that sent us still, don't worry about it. There's no proof, except for the proof that I've been talking about.
Yeah,
I'm incredulous. I laugh because I'm incredulous.
It's unacceptable. So we're going to take a Fox News break here real quick. While we're listening to the news, I want you to look up Stronghold Freedom Foundation, and then we're going to be back with Mark T. Jackson, the legislative director, board member, as well as, oh my gosh, just everything under the sun, combat veteran and current federal agent. You know, so this isn't somebody I just picked up off the road, okay? So Mark knows what he's talking about. We'll be right back after this. Thanks for hanging on, Mark, on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. This is normally where I would throw out the talk and text lines. You can still text me at 884-9910, but we've got a special guest on the program today, so I've got the phone lines locked down. I know, I'm just that way. But this is so important for you to understand what's going on. And I do want you to answer our poll question today, though, because I want to know how you are doing. 991fmtalk.com. Today's poll question is, are you better off financially than you were 5 years ago? Okay. Brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. Yesterday's poll question, should the Governor Bowl Park be used for another homeless shelter? We're just getting overrun. 68% said no. We love that baseball field. We want to keep it exactly the way it is. All right, let's go back to our special guest, Mark T. Jackson, who is the legislative director and board member for the Stronghold Freedom Foundation. I hope you took the time to go online and find out more about it. And let's go back with our conversation. We learned about the open pit burning that the military currently does in all regions. We also heard about K-12 or K-2. We have K-12 here, Mark, but that's a, you know, that's a skiing thing. But let's go back to who knows about all this stuff and what can we do as average citizens to help in this whole venture?
This has been a lesson in civics for me. The Stronghold Freedom Foundation is about 8 months old. We became a 501c3 in February. I joined the board in May, and it was that first meeting with them, even before the 501c3 had been established. They were already lobbying. After that House bill went through conference and kind of had some of that stuff stripped out, which we are eternally grateful to Representatives Green and Lynch and the other co-sponsors of that bill. PJ and I the small team that we've kind of gathered around us, all volunteers, all veterans of K2, we went after the Senate with our constituents, with about the 4,500 people we have in our organization, and then partnered with other organizations that cover the other 5,000 or so people that were at K2. And we started talking to senators and we started talking to the media. And what has happened is there are now 5 K2 specific pieces of legislation pending in the Senate, along with 2 more that deal with toxic exposures and burn pits. And we are involved in lobbying for all those. We are allowed to provide our input for a lot of those. I speak after I'm done with my full-time job. I speak with legislatures every single day. So do the other members of my team. So do our constituents. So do our supporters. All these things are at our website, by the way, the strongholdfreedomfoundation.org. It's simple. You can go there, click on how can I help. It will take you to a link. You tell it what state you live in and what town, and it will take you straight to your legislature, fill out the form for you, and send it to them. And that is working. This is direct democracy. It's the only way to do it. The only reason this is happening is because we took our own fate into our own hands. Because if you wait for the right thing to happen, you're only ever going to wait.
And you're just going to get lip service, you know, from politicians saying how much they care about veterans. If they're not working on this and doing something for the past and for the future, then they really don't. Because I think this should be top priority. And I'm going to have Mark back on the show because he's going to do a little bit of research for me. Because I want to know how Amadei, how Cortez, how Masto, I want to know if these legislators have been contacted and what they have done to help fix and eradicate this problem. When we talk about the government as a whole, I've mentioned before that I've had Secretary Wilkie on with me. He knows about this, I'm assuming.
Yes, he absolutely does, and he's addressed it publicly.
So,
Secretary Wilkie, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead with what you're saying.
I was going to say, Secretary Wilkie, when asked about this, his public statements say that K2 veterans can get help, and that is true. We can get help after we're sick. Without recognition, we cannot get preventative care and we cannot get service connection for what's wrong with us, especially if someone only went to K2. If you only went to Uzbekistan, you're out of luck.
So what has to be done? Just that one little word has to be added to legislation.
That's correct. They need to also have additional language put into bills that allows us certain access to registries and access to specific care, and especially what's known as presumptive service connection. So they can put into a bill, it'll say, if you went to K2, we know you were exposed to these things, and we know these disease processes happen with that type of exposure. They can write that law. Those bills exist. I mean, I'm looking at one right now. I was talking to a congressman 20 minutes before I got on the phone with you about this bill. And it's just a matter of finding the will and finding the co-sponsors and finding the money. Because at the end of the day, there is a price tag attached to this. So there's only 10,000 of us at K2, but you have hundreds of thousands of people sick from the burn pits,
right,
and other toxic exposures, and millions actually exposed. And you have to track all that, just like with Agent Orange. The Blue Water Navy is something we talk about. That was the people on the ships that loaded the planes with the Agent Orange. Forget the guys that got sprayed with it, but the guys that handled it. Mm-hmm. I don't think they got coverage until the late 90s. Mm-hmm. So we're 19 years away from the day boots hit the ground in Uzbekistan, and we still do not have recognition from the government that sent us there.
I don't care if there was 10,100 troops there, or if there were 5 troops there. This has to be fixed, and that it never happens to our military men and women again, because they are the most precious resource that we have. These are the people who say, yes, I don't know you, but I will protect you, your freedoms, and your rights from any outside or inside force. I will lay down my life for you. That's in combat. People shouldn't be laying down their lives because they were exposed to chemicals that our government knew about. Mark, I'm definitely going to have you back on the show again, but it's time for people to act. We've got Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer doing God knows what they're preparing for now, but they're working on fake impeachments and dossiers and all of this contention in our government when this is the type of thing that everybody should be coming together on and working towards so it never happens again. From here on out, what do you want people to do?
The most active thing people can do and the biggest help that they can do is write their House representative and both of their senators and do it until they get a response, and not a canned response, an actual response. That's what we do. That's what I've done, and I still do it. If I reach out to a senator and I get a canned response or no response, I keep going and going and going until I get one. Now, what's happened is they know who we are. They know who I am. A lot of their staff does because we've been loud. But every single person listening to this, anybody that is a citizen of the United States, they represent you. They're not there for you. And that's something that that really has come home to me. It's not their government. It's ours. They're supposed to be doing these things for us, and not just for K2 or for burn pits or veterans, but for everybody. This type of advocacy advocates for every American because it holds the government accountable and requires them to work for us. So everybody, it's simple. You know who your House representative, you know who your senators are, write them, call them, demand action, and action will come.
And I want you to remember two words and bring it up in every single conversation you have, whether it be with a veteran, whether it be with a politician, local or federal, Uzbekistan and K2. Find out if they know about it, find out if they've ever heard about it, and then direct them also to strongholdfreedomfoundation.org. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today. And I've got to give a little bit of love out to the real Bradley, because that's how I found out about you. I was scrolling through and I said, oh, I've got to hear about this. Base killing veterans. And I listened that whole way through and I was blown away. So this is what people need to do now. You are your own reporters. You are your own investigators, okay? Don't just pay attention to what the mainstream media is spoon-feeding you, what they want you to know. You've got to find this stuff out on your own and help share it. Mark T. Jackson, thank you so much for joining me today, and you live your best life every single day.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back right after this to wrap up the show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. Just a quick reminder, Carson City Sheriff's Department, they've got the license plate of that puke that threw a bottle out of his vehicle at some peaceful protesters, some ralliers that do a pre-rally on Wednesday, always building up for the big rallies on Saturdays that are held every Saturday at the legislative building. Sorry, I almost sneezed there. Don't you hate that when you start to breathe in like you're going to sneeze and then it just goes away? It's just so unsatisfying. But what will be satisfying, they were able to get the license plate number of the person who did this. This person needs to be arrested and prosecuted, or we will be no better than any of those other states that are letting this slide. We just threw a bottle out the window. Okay, first off, that's littering. Secondly, it's assault. Man had to go to the hospital because of your dumb donkey actions. So all my prayers to Ted that he recovers fully. You never know with trauma like that, especially to your eye, what could happen. So Furlong, get on it. Because the gentleman will be pressing charges. You have to just find the guy. And I guess that would be, you know, I'm not saying put an all points bulletin out, but I guess if they're from, you know, Reno or Washoe County, then, you know, we need to find him up here too. But that person needs to be brought to justice. So a couple of quick things. Forrest, thank you for the email. If you go to takingnevadaback.com, takingnevadaback.com, click on signing locations, it brings up all of the counties. Churchill County signing locations. Now, I'm so impressed. I'm blown away. I really am. From the first time that businesses were hiding, they didn't want to upset anybody, but they were hiding from putting the recall petition out. Grouchy's Barbershop, Grouchy's, I love that name. His Inspiration, Christian Books and Gifts, Top Gun Car Wash, Main Attraction Hair Shop, Dream Spas and Pools, Frontier Liquor and Sporting Goods, Jiffy Lube, the DMV. Times have changed. Democrats and Republicans and independents want Sisolak recalled. Thank you to all of the businesses in every county who are stepping up to be a part of this, because we can't do it without you. Remember, if you go to takingnevadaback.com, you can also download your own petition if you circle it between family and friends. Just make sure you do it properly. Going back to another email that I received this morning about voting, I want to give you this real quickly, and that is early voting. If you don't have your ballot, which, by the way, was sent out yesterday, so keep an eye out for them. They were sent out yesterday. If you don't receive one, you need to say something. But if you do get it, make sure you take it with you to early voting and you turn it in. Have them destroy it or something. I don't know what they do with it, but turn it in. And then you can vote in person on one of the touchscreen voting machines. If you don't receive it and you still go and vote early, which starts on the 17th and runs through October 30th, that's okay. Because they check the records. If it shows that you have already early voted in person, it just knocks that ballot out. People have gone back and forth with me on this that, you know, they want to fill out their ballot and hand deliver it rather than using the electronic process. Personally, for me, I'm going to use the electronic process because at least there is a record there. There's that little scroll that comes out that shows you while you're voting, after you're all said and done, who you voted for. I want that paper trail. When your ballot goes into the registrar's office, it still has to be counted. It doesn't matter who takes your vote. It matters who counts it. Those people counting your vote will make the determination if your signature matches your registration signature. Has your signature changed? Are you just being impatient and scribbling? You can change your signature. You know, as we get older, mine gets more impatient. You can't even read what my name is on my signature now. But you can go to the registrar's office and say, you know what? I need to redo my signature. It's gotten so bad and shaky or whatnot that I want to change it, update it. You can do that. don't let somebody throw out your ballot because you don't write your signature like you used to. This is the most important election we are ever going to face. For now, at least. Who knows what the Democrats are going to throw at us in the future. It is so important. Become a poll watcher. Just contact your county party. Become a poll watcher. Get out there. Get people registered to vote. Get them the information they need. And help them understand what Maoism is, what communism is, what Marxism is. Because if they think that that's a joke, that that's not what they're putting on us with Biden and Harris, you know, the Harris-Biden administration, then they are not educated. Educate yourselves to vote. Tomorrow, we'll go over a few judges. Had a great meeting last night with some judge candidates. And we'll go over, should Chief Moore resign? The Democrats think so.